do a bit of an introduction here to our theme, which is any growth we know of comes from God. And then the scripture passage will be read by Kaz Okubo, one of our young adults. And I'm going to be preaching on growth the next few Sundays, which is great because we like to talk and think about growing in Christ. And our 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the first verses talk about this very much, the power of God to help us grow. Because we grow in Christ and we grow in the church, both things, both ways. We grow in our own relationship with Christ, and the church itself is a place of growth. And that's why you got the watering can on the plant in the church. But how is it that things grow? How do you grow? What makes you move and develop? What begins as something very small, these are mustard seeds. God makes into something very substantial and strong. Here's a plant, mustard plant, see? Very big and very substantial. God will make the small things great. He'll make them substantial and strong as long as we understand and believe in his power to do so. Here are acorns, two acorns, the littlest things, you know, they could size your thumb maybe, and they grow into a large oak tree, a massive, amazing oak tree. God can take something very small and make it into something very substantial and strong. Begin by trusting in God. There's power in trusting in him. You have to trust and believe that he will not stop his work because it is in his nature to be at work in us. And there's kind of a workman, you know, with a hammer and a chisel, kind of chiseling at a stone, maybe trying to sculpt something. But that's what God does with us. He takes us into his hands and molds and shapes us and works with us because that is what God does. It's his nature. It's built into his redeemed creation to grow and develop and become something great. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6 will say, I planted, Paul says, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. God gives the growth. And growing and developing is something God has built into living organisms. And growth is a process of getting larger, and development is a process of change that happens during an organism's life. And it'll happen as our life in Christ is joined with him. And remember this great verse of Isaiah 64:8, repeated in the scriptures, O Lord, you are the potter, and we are the clay. You are our Father, we are the clay. You are the potter, we are all the work of your hand. God is at work in us. Let me pray a moment, then I'll have Kaz come and read. Dear Lord, thank you for your scripture and your word. We pray that it may be fruitful and may come back with a great harvest. That is the motto of TWR radio station, which stopped its transmission, but we do believe and trust that its word will continue through many other means, digital and through other radio stations and other places, Lord. There's a great challenge been met for so many years, having engineers and other staff come here, but it's all because we dedicate to your word going forth and bringing a harvest, Lord. We pray that you will do so this morning as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, it's got to turn on. Just got to turn the switch on. There we go.
Thank you. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 to 10. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God, who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care.
Thank you for that reading, Cass. Very good. Very, very clear. Okay. Perhaps you have doubted that you are very effective at what God is calling you to do. We doubt ourselves. That is something that's part of human nature. But also, we may have been wondering if there is enough change in the life I'm living. Is it pleasing to God? Am I moving in God's direction or not? You know, am I in sync with Him? Am I in step with God? Or sometimes you may be tempted to think that it's true, the voice in your head saying you are useless, or perhaps that you are unworthy. And if you do have any of these doubts, if you have any of these questions, if you are ever tempted to think these thoughts which undermine your faith, then you need to pay attention to this. When you follow Jesus and you seek to love Him and please Him, you need not worry about anything but being found faithful in that. God will provide the growth and development you need. This is what 1 Corinthians 3 is saying. God gives the growth. We give God ourselves. You see, the Lord has a plan for all of us, and it's made clear in this passage in 1 Corinthians that the power of growth is provided by the Lord. You are God's field, God's building, he says at one point. And Paul is really reminding himself and the Corinthian believers that he, Paul, preached and taught, and Apollos expounded and discipled, but these two guys are not the end goal. They want to make sure that the church brings glory to Jesus Christ and they're centered in Him, and said, it's not us, we're just passing away. We're here to serve you. We are here to bring the word. We're here to try to ground you in the faith. But Paul says it's not for us to take any credit. God is the one who makes things grow. The Lord has a plan for us, both individually and together, that we will grow and that we will develop. Christianity is about growing. Christian growth is our hope and our prayer. That happens whether you're here sitting in church, whether you're in school, whether you're in a business or working, or whether you're busy with your job, wherever it is, or you're, you know, busy in your retirement, whatever it is, the Lord wants to continue to be with you and wants to help you to grow. That's what God's plan is. He never intended to allow anything to prevent what is small from growing into something greater. So I was talking about the small acorn growing into the big tree, or the mustard seed growing into the large bush. The Lord will not let anything prevent what is tended to grow from growing. He builds it into what He's doing with His people. Now, think about the people of Israel who followed Moses through the Red Sea. Now, Moses seems like a great champion. He's a great hero of the faith. We know Moses as one of the great leaders of the Old Testament. But when they first had Moses come and show up to lead them out of Egypt, I think they didn't think much of it. They thought Moses was not going to be much of anything. He stuttered. He was reactive. Often he could even sulk. And he was shut down by the Pharaoh numerous times. How is Moses ever going to emerge as a strong and confident and good leader? Well, the Lord was at work in him, and he was helping him. God needed Moses to give himself to the Lord and to the work God wanted him to do. And once Moses determined that he would, once Moses rose out of his own sense of being inferior and being useless and being unworthy, he began to walk in God's way and God began to grow him. He stretched out Moses' heart. He met with Moses personally at the burning bush and other times. And he was patient with Moses. And he helped Moses and he said to Moses, you know, I'm even going to send you with my your companion, your brother Aaron. He's going to help speak for you, but you are the one who I'm giving my authority to lead Israel out of their slavery and lead them on to the way God wanted them to go. God has the same approach with us as he had with Moses. Whatever we give to the Lord, he's going to use. We say, Lord, surrender all to you. We surrender all to you. We give you ourselves. And the Lord says, I'm going to use what you have. And I'm going to make something out of it. I remember a cadet motto song that we used to sing. Living for Jesus, a life that is true. It's a wonderful hymn, actually. We didn't sing it today, but you can sing it, you know, later on maybe, or get a version of it on YouTube and listen to it. Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please him in all that I do. If you take that seriously, then you have that at the center of your life, and God is going to do something with it. The one thing God knows is how to grow things. God makes things grow. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 7. Paul says, I planted a seed, Apollos did some watering, but the power of growth is in the seed and in the soil and in the nature that God, what God has created. The power of God to grow you is in what God has placed in you and what God gives to you by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the infusion of life of Jesus Christ, and he will allow you to grow. A seed that is planted grows by the power of nature. You can see it. You plant that seed in the soil. It's a marvelous thing. You know, it's a marvelous thing to do with kids, right? Teach them how a seed gets planted and how it begins to grow. You know, the root starts going down, the stem starts going up, and eventually something green emerges. And, you know, if you water and you have good soil, that will grow and it will develop. Because God has built this into living organisms. God has built this into the very nature of the universe. You have a capacity to grow. And what God is going to do in you is grow your faith. He's going to help you believe in more, trust in more. And, you know, a kind of example of this could very easily be Wanda, who just died. They had a celebration of life yesterday. Remembered her as a prayer warrior. But she was a girl from Canada. Grew up in a small town there in Canada. I'm not even sure what the name of it was. And yet the Lord brought her to be a principal of a high school in Palau and helped her be a missionary in the islands. You know, brought her through a life that of amazing grace. He grew her as she trusted the Lord with her life. She grew in her faith. And God will help you grow in your grace, in the ability to be gracious and to receive God's grace. It's a ebb and a flow. You know, we say in our Lord's Prayer, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Remember, there's three versions of this in the Lord's Prayer. Different communities of faith do it a different way. Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, or Lord, forgive us for our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. All three things are the same. You know, that you are forgiven by God of your debt to him, of your trespasses of God's holy nature and law and being. God forgives you your sins. And then he asks you to be gracious, to be flowing in God's forgiveness, being able to show mercy, being able to show kindness and love. You will grow in grace if you're with the Lord. He will make that happen. It is what he does. And he does that with great strength. And he will make you stronger in your love. Your ability to love God and your ability to love one another. And he will make you stronger and better at loving yourself. It's part of the whole thing. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And he does say that, you know. He's talking about our own self-relationship, which can be very problematic, can be very troublesome. Some of, you know, we know that young people grow and then they, you know, there's a problem of suicide. People feel so deep and dark that they want to, you know, end their life. They think they're not worthy of living on this planet. So God will help us in Christ to grow in our love for ourselves, but also for each other, that servant mentality of being able to serve one another. You know, we're all different, and sometimes that difference can make problems for us, you know. That can make us not like somebody. It can make us sometimes feel irritated at someone. But God will help us to grow in our love, even overcoming that kind of attitude or behavior. And of course, God wants us to be full of love for him. God will make a way where there is no way, is a way of yielding to God. You know, I surrender to you, Lord. Please make a way where there is no way, and I love you for what you do. You take the merest potential and you develop that. You take these problems and you help us to resolve them. You take these burdens that we're placed with and gives us the resilience and strength to carry our lives forward in spite of that, against resistance and against difficulties. You see, God, 1 Corinthians 3:7, God makes things grow. Just remember that. God makes things grow in you. I had to grow in my faith journey. I trusted God, and he called me to be a student pastor down in North Carolina on the Blue Ridge Parkway at Downton Park. And my job was not glamorous at all. I was a dishwasher in the local restaurant, cafe. People would come up there. But on Sundays, I would travel with a whole bag load of hymnals to a campground, an outside service, and whoever came was my congregation. And I was in college, you know, just a student. I had never been doing anything else in church. But that was a way for God to help me realize I could grow. And it made me look at myself in a pastoral sense, that I could lead worship and I could share God's word. And it was very upbuilding. God was bringing me down the road of growth and development. And then I went to college. I was, you know, and I thought I would become an engineer. Like my father and a bunch of other students who are all at Calvin College, thinking we're all going to become engineers. But God gave me a dissatisfaction. And he was intervening in my life to say, this is not the right direction. It was like it was going to become a dead end for me. And it doesn't need to be a dead end for you. I mean, engineering is a great field. And I have a brother who became one. I have a brother who became an architect. But for me, God was saying, I'm going to call you into ministry. And the dissatisfaction could only be resolved by going into seminary and becoming a pastor. That's what God was doing in my life when I trusted him with it. He will never let you stay in the same place through your interactions with God. He will always be guiding you and he will always be leading you. Isaiah 58:11. You can see that in the life of Doug and Denise Gregson, who have been sharing some of their ministry this month. The Lord is letting them trust him for this radio ministry that was initially impossible. It wasn't even an industrial impossibility. It was something that nobody was really making or doing. And you know, a platform, Doug talks about it as a platform, but he really had to engineer and develop it, and it's become commercially viable, and it's something that other companies want to use, and that's all because Doug trusted God. He was being stretched in the way he was going. And for Denise, you know, the both of them put on the doorstep of Stetson University these international students, and you can see them working with them, and they decided to share their ministry with them at a beautiful campus, I must say. It's a beautiful place, Stetson. With opportunity comes ministry, and you must be willing to be stretched by the Lord in your walk. And so there they are, hosting these students from Zambia, Kazakhstan, and Germany, and planting and sowing helpfulness and kindness into their lives, being constructive and giving them bicycles and food, but also sharing God's word with them and gathering together in Bible study. And we're so thankful that that also goes on in the ministry at UOG. And this is it's all a part of God guiding us and leading us. It is what happened with TWR here on the island of Guam. There's no way that they could have thought that they put up a station and be able to sustain it for almost 50 years. You never knew if you're going to have enough engineers. You never knew if you're going to have enough volunteers. You never knew who God was going to send to the island of Guam. You know, who was going to be here. And God sent Carol. God sent Mike and Ellie. God has sent the Lamberts who are here. You know, God provided. And then now the day and age is different. Technology's changed. The transmitters are very expensive to keep and maybe hard to sustain. It's hard to keep engineers on the island. It's hard for families to be here. And ultimately, things have changed in the world. Like, there are satellites flying around our space providing internet in all kinds of places. And so the little radio that Doug has developed probably is part of the thing which is helping TWR change its ministry from having a radio station on Guam to being able to do some things differently. It's interesting how God does this. And it's no accident that Paul uses the imagery of infants who then move off of mother's milk to solid food, because God is leading us, and we'll never be disappointed when we walk with God. And he's stretching us, and he's helping us to see that we can have increased faith. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. They were asking for God to give them greater faith. He had to stretch them. He has to stretch us. So, you know, from an infant to adulthood, it's a natural result of growth. God is not going to leave an infant as a baby on the floor, you know, crawling. It's going to learn how to walk. He's not going to leave an infant just feeding off its mother's milk. It's going to learn to eat solid food, and it's going to grow and become a young lady or a young man. And it's a natural part of growth. But you also have to give to the Lord that surrender, that sense of you are going to serve and follow Christ. You have to say, I'm here to serve you, O Lord. And I'm here to serve your people. And I'm here to serve your purpose in the world. And then when you do surrender and give yourself to the Lord in this way, it's a living and dynamic thing, which is full of joy and life and praise to the Lord. It is my joy to worship you, O Lord, because you continually encourage me and you give me your life and you give me your comfort and you give me your strength. I'm praising God that when we are called into service with him, he will make us grow, because that's his nature. And let us all follow him in doing that and letting him do his work. He's the potter. We are the clay. Amen. Praise the Lord. Dear Lord, thank you that we can pray this morning hour, and pray to you for your strength and grace. We pray that you will allow each and every one person here to know that planted in you, O Christ, you will make us grow. It is in your nature to use whatever we give to you and make of it something. Lord, help us to remember that. And, you know, even, you know, you can say here's a pastor, you know, he's going to a hospital to visit a sick patient. Well, when we show up, we don't know what to say necessarily, but we also know that just by being there, we are bringing God's grace and mercy. And Lord, any one of us can pray, and people who are in hospital beds love to have people pray for them. Doesn't matter if they believe or not. And so also the same thing goes, Lord. Whenever we see a need, we seek to pray for it, which you ask for God's touch and mercy on it. But you will use us, Lord, as we surrender ourselves to you. Thank you for that. Thank you for your grace and mercy in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.